This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. Yes, I am. This is the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, a very special day for me. I love our Blessed Mother. I love her under that title. And we are celebrating this beautiful Feast of Our Lady today together right here on Women of Grace Live. And it makes me ever so very, very happy. It is also Wednesday. And you know what Wednesday is? Wednesday is Wacky Wednesday. And Sue Brinkman is with us. And we're going to be answering all of your questions about what you see happening in the world today that you're wondering, you know, is that in agreement with the church? Does the church think this is okay or not? We're going to be taking your questions, your comments, and also, you know, gaining from you your insights and your encouragement right here on Women of Grace Live. You might as well start calling now because the phone lines always light up like crazy on Wacky Wednesday. Let me give you that toll-free number to use. It is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It's easy breezy. It is toll-free for you right here in North America. We invite you to use it often and repeatedly to be with us right here on Women of Grace Live. Another way that you can get your question or comment to us is by way of EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page. Use the chat feature there. Put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We'll get it retrieved and up on the board. Additionally, you can text us. Text your question or comment to the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or your comment. Tell us who you are, where you are, and how you're listening. We'll get it. And do know that data and message rates may apply if you use that option. And guess what? One more way in which you can reach us is always by email. Email your questions to us, and it's easy breezy, womenofgrace@ewtn.com. That's Women of Grace, all one word, plural on the women, womenofgrace@ewtn.com. When you send your questions to us or your comments, your insights, inspirations, or words of encouragement, we will read them on the air and we will answer your concerns. Additionally, you can leave a question for us at our listener comment line. Let me give you that number. This is great because, you know, sometimes something will just pop into your head and, you know, we're not on the air. It's not a Wacky Wednesday or it's not any other time period that Women of Grace is airing. And you want it specific for our program. So the way that you do that is you go to our listener comment line, you dial this number, 205-795-5773. That's 205-795-5773. And you can leave your question or comment for us there. We will retrieve that and we will review it on the air and chit chat about what it is that's on your mind. So all of these beautiful ways available for you to get your questions or comments to us. But again, that toll-free number 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And I should mention that if you're outside of North America, we have a number that you can use as well. And that number is this number, 205-295-5773. It's not coming to me right now, but I'll get it for you and I'll give it to you. I know it's 2985. Oh, it's 271. 205-271-2985. There it goes. Whoa, that birdie landed. 205-271-2985 is the way that you can call us if you're outside of North America. And we welcome your questions and your comments. You know, Our Lady of Mount Carmel is very special for ever so many reasons. And one of the great gifts that we have through Our Lady of Mount Carmel is the scapular. And I am a fan of the scapular. She gave it to St. Simon Stock. There are many promises that are attached to the scapular. But I think that the reason why I love the scapular so much is because of what it symbolizes. You know, oftentimes times we look at these sacramentals that come to us by way of Holy Mother Church, and we kind of look at them almost as we would look at a talisman. We don't want to do that. Now, what is a talisman? It's like a charm. It's like an amulet. We talk about charms and amulets and talismans here on Wacky Wednesday often enough when we will use an item in a superstitious fashion, believing that the item itself is endowed with special powers. And of course, when it comes to sacramentals, we know this, it's the blessing that's on the sacramental that has the power. It isn't the hunk of metal. It's not necessarily the two little patches on a string. It isn't that. It is the power of the church. It's the blessing of the church that comes by way of that sacramental. And so when we have a sacramental, we reverence it. If it's been blessed, it is a sacramental. And we reverence it. We don't treat it lightly. And one of the beautiful things that is one of the holy habits of wearing the little habit of Carmel, which is the scapular, is to kiss it in reverence when you take it off or put it on. Now, you should wear it all of the time. You can take it off to take a shower, for example. But, you know, when we do take it off, we kiss it. When we put it back on, we kiss it. It's a sign of acknowledgement of the sacramental nature of it. It's a sign of the fact that we recognize that it is blessed. And in that blessing come these divine and holy favors that heaven promises us by way of it through our Blessed Lady. But it also is mindful of something else. And this is very important. You know, when we put this scapular on, we don't do it because of the promises of heaven. You know, that would be a very wrong-minded attitude. I mean, it's okay, but it's not the full benefit of what can be reaped by way of the symbolism of the scapular. When we put the scapular on, remember that we're putting on the little habit. It is a habit. It has a connection to the Carmelite religious order. As a matter of fact, when we're invested in the scapular, we are incorporated into all of the prayers of the Carmelite community internationally. So that's a beautiful thing. But we are also mindful of the fact that we are in a sense entering into the spirituality of Carmel. And what is that spirituality? That spirituality is imitation of our Blessed Lady. It is striving to live the holy habits of Our Lady, meaning her virtues. It's saying that this is Mary's livery. I am putting on Mary's uniform. And this means that I, in some way, are representative of this reality of our mother, and I say yes to it, and I live out the lifestyle that comes by way of it. You know, think about somebody that enlists in the army. When that man or that woman puts on that uniform, they are saying, I stand for the United States of America, and I stand by what she stands by. And it's the same with the scapular. So today on this Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, you know, ask our Blessed Mother to help you to enter more deeply into the spiritual reality that it symbolizes, to live her virtues in a more fervent and generous way. And I can tell you, this will be one of those feast days that will stand out in your memory as a real moment of grace that's come to you by way of her maternal beatitude and intercession. 833-288-EWTN. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back, friends. You hear that music, and that always lets you know that it's Wednesday, and it's Wacky Wednesday right here on Women of Grace Live. We certainly do want to hear from you today. I want to give you that toll-free number. We're taking your questions or your comments about some of the strange stuff that you see going on out there, or really to give you insight about something that you might have a question about. And we see you, Rita, and we're going to get to you in just a minute, but I do want to give that toll-free number before we do. 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-3986. 833-288-EWTN. That is the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live today. Tom Price is doing the call screening. Ace McKay is out there on social media. And we have Vanessa Sanchez in studio making the program happen for you. We're always eager to hear from you. Remember that you can always get your social media questions to us by going to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Just use the chat feature there. Put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement, and Ace will retrieve it and get it up on the board, and we'll be able to address it. We're always looking forward to answering your questions about the weird and the wacky that goes on. We're having a little audio situation here with Sue, but I am going to go to Rita, and we'll begin to answer that question. Rita is with us in Amarillo, Texas, and she is listening to us via Sirius XM Station 130 today. Good morning to you, Rita.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you, Miss Jeanette? And thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you're so very, very welcome. We're delighted to have you with us. And thank you very, very much for calling on this beautiful Feast of Our Lady. So how can we help you, Rita?
I have a friend that does Reiki. And I have another friend that she said she did not want my friend to do Reiki on her because it was against Catholic religion.
Uh-huh.
So I'm a cradle Catholic, and I'd like to know, is it wrong to have Reiki done or get done to you?
Yes. The easy, simple, breezy answer for that is yes. As a matter of fact, all the way back now, some time ago, on the Feast of the Assumption, on March 25th in 2009, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops issued a statement, which you can access by going out to United States Catholic Conference of Bishops, USCCB. Just go to usccb.org and put Reiki in the search engine, and it'll come up for you. And you can pass this on to your friend and to anybody else that ever asks you the question. And in this beautiful guideline, they outline for us why Reiki is opposed to the teachings of the church. And as a matter of fact, they very strongly tell us in this document that it is not to be used in any Catholic setting. It's not to be used in any Catholic hospital. It's not to be offered in Catholic parishes. It's not to be offered in Catholic retreat centers. And they go into a very good, clear, and may I say, understandable explanation of why this is unacceptable to us as Catholics. We put ourselves in jeopardy for ever so many reasons. Reiki is, in its essence, an occult practice. We're calling upon an energy source. And I know that Catholics that use this say, well, that energy source is the Holy Spirit. That is not the case whatsoever. You cannot just, kind of plug in a Catholic term and make something other than what it actually is. As a matter of fact, in a certain sense, I think that makes it even worse. It's almost as if you're blaspheming God in that way. So, there's all kinds of reasons why it's wrong. So I want to direct you out there to the usccb.org site, put Reiki in, and it will come up for you. And I can read to you a little bit of it. Would you like me to? Okay, so here's the conclusion. It says, Reiki therapy finds no support either in the findings of natural science or in Christian belief. For a Catholic to believe in Reiki therapy presents insoluble problems in terms of caring for one's physical health or the physical health of others. To employ a technique that has no scientific support or even plausibility is generally not prudent. And then in paragraph 11, in terms of caring for one's spiritual health, there are important dangers. To use Reiki, one would have to accept, at least in an implicit way, central elements of the worldview that undergirds Reiki theory. Elements that belong neither to the Christian faith nor to natural science. Goes on and says, without justification, either from Christian faith or natural science, however, a Catholic who puts his or her trust in Reiki would be operating in the realm of superstition, the no man's land that is neither faith nor science. The bishops continue, superstition corrupts one's worship of God by turning one's religious feeling and practice in a false direction. It says, while sometimes people fall into superstition through ignorance, it is the responsibility of all who teach in the name of the church to eliminate such ignorance as much as possible. And then finally, the last short paragraph, since Reiki therapy is not compatible with either Christian teaching or scientific evidence, it would be inappropriate for Catholic institutions, such as Catholic healthcare facilities and retreat centers, or persons representing the church, such as Catholic chaplains, to promote or to provide support for Reiki therapy. So there you have it. I mean, that is the summation of this not terribly long document. It's only 6 pages. And it is a very thorough document nonetheless, and one that I always encourage people to read when they have questions on Reiki. And you're not with us anymore there, Rita, but I'm hoping that for any of you that have concerns about Reiki, that you would consult that document so that you see that what we promote here on Women of Grace Live about these occult practices is fully in line with what the church teaches. And we only strive to present what the church teaches. Well, I do think that Sue is with us again. Hi, Sue.
Hi. Oh, I'm so glad I was just listening with rapt interest in this discussion on Reiki, because it is something that people really need to be aware of. And what you were mentioning about that superstitious medicine that was mentioned in the document is so important for people to understand that our church, our faith, believes in the union of faith and reason, right?
That's right.
And reason being science, and then faith, of course, is above science. But the catechism tells us that there can never be any real discrepancy between faith and reason. So if you're using something, and it doesn't have to be just Reiki, you know, any of those energy medicines, there's no such thing as that energy. It's never been proven to exist, which means if you continue to put your faith in it, even though knowing there's no science behind it, you're engaging in superstition.
That's right.
That's considered to be superstitious medicine, and you have to be really careful that you don't fall into that. And I think it is an easy thing to fall into, and that's why I was so glad when you mentioned it, because it's something that we need to just keep bringing out to people and instructing them to be very careful, because there's all kinds of things that they use out there. They use essential oils incorrectly, they use crystals incorrectly, and they don't realize that they're crossing that line and moving into superstition now, because some of the things that they're doing with those crystals or the essential oils really don't have scientific backing.
No, they don't. And this document on Reiki, in part two of it, it goes into really the origins and basic characteristics of Reiki, and it gives us a little bit of the history, but it also talks about what is intrinsic to this practice. And it's here that we begin to see that it poses problems because of the occult basis of it, and this, you know, attunement to the universal life force energy, and all of this stuff that we know has a very occult underpinning. And I think, you know, from a spiritual reality, you know, we should mention, Sue, that we put ourselves in peril because now we are messing around with powers and principalities, the rulers of this present darkness, as it says in Scripture. We're fooling around with demons. We're fooling around with the diabolic.
Absolutely, we are. That's the other thing that's of vital importance there, because you are reaching out to powers that are not sourced in God, and therefore you leave yourself wide open for mm-hmm. all kinds of oppression and harassment by demons. And that's why you need to be very, very careful and very prudent in the use of some of these alternatives and stay away from anything that's based in. And that's what we recommend here, Johnette, you know, through our Q&A blog. We recommend to people to stay away from anything that is associated with chi, ki, prana, universal life force, vital force. That does not exist according to science. We can find energy. It's not hard. We have all kinds of energy out there that we know about. But this, you know, mysterious putative energy, nobody's ever been able to find. You know why? Because it doesn't exist. So we advise people to just stay away from it completely. Don't get involved in it. No matter how wonderful the hype looks or sounds on the website, you know, don't get involved in it.
Yeah. Well, I think that the confusion comes into the church because, you know, for a period of time, and, you know, I don't have a pulse on this as I once did. Maybe you have more of a pulse on it. But Reiki and all of these various kinds of things were being offered at a lot of our Catholic retreat houses, you know, and in many cases, they were being, these things were being offered by religious women, you know, professed sisters. And so that gives it sort of an air of a, of authority and an air of affirmation that is not there because of what the church teaches.
Absolutely. And it's sad that they, you know, they are out there in front of this movement in some cases, or at least they were. I don't hear as much about it now as I did, like maybe 5 years ago even. It's kind of quieted down a little bit, but with the sisters, I mean. Because of that document really spoke authoritatively on that subject. And now it's possible for people to go to their pastor and say, hey, we shouldn't have this here. And if they, if they're, and, you know, give them the document and show them why and what the church teaches about it. In many cases, the pastors don't know that.
That's
so,
right.
So you know, at least give them a chance. And if he just decides, well, I'm going to let it be here anyway, you, you could go to your bishop.
That's
and report to your bishop that, that it's here. And you're uncomfortable with it, that it's scandalizing you. I always tell people, if you're going to write to the bishop, use the word scandal, because they don't like that word.
No, they're very sensitive to that word.
They are, and use it in your letter to them and say, this is happening and it's scandalizing me and others in the parish. So you would have the right to do that.
Yeah. There's that one sentence that I read on the air. It says, while sometimes people fall into superstition through ignorance, it is the responsibility of all who teach in the name of the church to eliminate such ignorance as much as possible. So really and truly, if you inform your pastor, you are living out a gospel mandate, really, to preach the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ and to eliminate ignorance, right? Ignorance of him, ignorance of his church, ignorance of what his church teaches. So, you know, it's really, I would say, it's a spiritual work of mercy to inform. And if the pastor remains recalcitrant for some reason, well, to take it to your bishop again is the way to go. But most of the time, and it's been my experience, Sue, that, you know, once a pastor who was not informed becomes informed, in many cases, he's very grateful for that information. You know, it's really, really kind of important.
We've always had that. So many of them have written to thank us, you know, for the blog and stuff that we provide, because they truly did not know that information, and they had no idea, and were just happy that someone provided it to them. So
they can't be on top of everything, and let's face it, I mean, what you and I talk about on Wednesdays is very unsavory, you know. It's not bright and light and cheerful, you know.
I mean, try to make it that way by getting wacky.
Yeah, we do.
It's true. Lighten it up, you know. It's to lighten it up a little bit, because it is dark.
It's dark and it's heavy. And so, you know, a lot of, you know, individuals within the church that are in teaching positions and have some authority, they just kind of veer away from this. So, you know, but all that being said, it doesn't mean that they don't have to be informed. So, you know, generally speaking, we had that audio issue at the beginning of the program. Praise be to God. We finally got everything to work according to the way in which it should. And sometimes, you know, it's atmospheric problems that happen. But that being said, you're here, and we generally have a topic that we talk about at the beginning, and we've got about 4 minutes before the break. So why don't you take us into something?
Well, I'm going to have to bring up this matter again. We've talked about it before, but it's come up again. Christian women, we need to be careful about the jewelry that we're wearing. Mm-hmm. And where we're getting that jewelry from. And I've had somebody write to me and say, it's often happens. She said, oh, somebody gave me a gift, and it came from a certain jewelry company named Heart Jewelry. And she said, when I searched the website, I was disturbed by some of the messaging on it. It sounded very new age. Is it safe to wear this jewelry? Great question. Because after I went in to look at it, although I found that the jewelry didn't have any blessings on them, many times they do with the new age. This has a lot of things in it that I think when we come back after the break, John, we're going to definitely want to unpack some of this because of very heavy new age law of attraction vibe on this site about, you know, intentions and using vision boards and very blatantly selling their jewelry and encouraging the superstitious use of some of that jewelry, which they're selling as outright talismans. I mean, they're calling them talismans. Mm-hmm. They're not trying to say, oh, isn't this pretty? They're saying, hey, they use this talisman. If you want empowerment, get the little bumblebee. If you want protection, get the evil eye charm. If you want luck, here's a horseshoe charm. I mean, and they go even further into it. They, you know, they have different intention cards that you get along, you know, like you download it along with that piece of jewelry, and you reflect on the memories and intentions that you wish to stay mindful of each time you wear the talisman. They have a sushi card that's downloadable that helps the customer find the right charm for your intention. So what they're really doing here is they're encouraging the use of wearing this jewelry. They're encouraging the use of talismans, of good luck charms. And that's something, again, what we were just talking about in the beginning of the show. This is superstition, but it's also an offense against the First Commandment, because what you're doing is you're making little idols out of these objects. You're turning to them for protection rather than turning to God. And then some of the other things they say on their website is also very concerning to me about, you know, how their talismans have soul-boosting superpowers, and that each piece is embedded with meaning and channels spiritual tenets in a modern, fresh way. Tenets being T-E-N-A-N-T-S, which means what? Resident and occupiers.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it just doesn't stop out there, and that's why we do this program, friends. And we invite you to call us with your questions. Rita did earlier. Our phone lines are all open for you. We are here to take those questions, to hear your comments, to the extent that we can, to explain some of this this information to you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. We also invite you to get out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page. Leave a question or a comment for us right there in the chat feature, and we will get it retrieved for you. More to come on the other side of this break. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Jonette Williams. We'll be right back.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Jonette Williams on this Wacky Wednesday with Sue Brinkman. She is joining us from just outside of Philadelphia, PA. By the way, speaking of Philadelphia, PA, oh, my goodness sakes, I am so excited. We are going to be at Malvern Retreat House outside of Philadelphia, PA, in Malvern, Pennsylvania, beginning today. Yeah, I mean, a week from today, not beginning today, beginning a week from today. So I'm very, very excited. 1 week from today, I'll be flying on up there. And that is all in preparation for our Women of Grace Retreat that is preceded by our Benedicta Enrichment Seminar. Yesterday, we had Dr. Donald Wallenfang on the air with us, and he was telling us about what we will be, investigating, learning, being taught with regard to consecrating conflict, finding hope in the struggle. And I don't know about you, but I was getting so excited as he was speaking yesterday. This is just going to be a tremendous opportunity, and I hope you'll join us. The Benedicta Enrichment Seminar runs from Thursday, July the 24th until about 3 in the afternoon on Friday, July the 25th. Our retreat begins Friday evening on the 25th and runs through the noon up to noon on the 27th. It closes with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. It's going to be a marvelous opportunity. You can come to the Benedicta and the retreat, or one or the other, depending upon what your schedule permits. But all I want you to do is to come. And this is the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. It also happens to be my birthday. And yesterday, I shared with everybody that, you know, I would love on this particular birthday to have 75 women sign up and join us. Oh my goodness, that would be such a beautiful, beautiful present to have you come and join us. And these 75 individuals could be, you know, adult women or Young ladies, because we're having a special day for young women on Saturday, the 26th, for our Young Women of Grace. And if you want to come and you want to bring your daughter, you're flying in or you're driving in, bring her. And she can come with you to the Friday night. She can come with you to the healing service on Saturday. She can come with you to Sunday morning's talks, as well as the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, of course. But all day, she will be in the Young Women of Grace track that will be running simultaneously with our women's track on Saturday. So it's going to be a marvelous time. I'm encouraging you to get out to our website. Oh, and what did I say? I said yesterday, I said, you know, I have a special something for women that signed up yesterday or today. So you have until like midnight tonight to sign up. So you can register right at womenofgrace.com. Now, of course, you can register after that, but this little, you know, kind of like a little, what do I want to call this? This little opportunity, so to speak, that is kind of special for me, will end today. But you can sign up, you know, all the way up until the event starts. But we want to be prepared for you. We surely do. So if you let us know sooner than later, we would appreciate it, because it's only a week away. We've got wonderful speakers coming. Kitty Cleveland is going to be with us. Bishop William Walterscheid is going to be with us. Dr. Donald Wallenfang is going to be with us. Patricia Sandoval is going to be with us. I am going to be with you. Living Praise Worship Team is going to be with us. Susan Potvin, who is worship leader for the Living Praise group, will also be giving us a teaching. It's going to be, I'm telling you, it's going to be so fabulous. It's going to be just so fabulous. So I am encouraging you to sign up. You will not be sorry. I promise you, abundant blessings will come. I know that because I know the history of this event, and I know that Jesus Christ is always with us when two or three are gathered in his name. So please do join us. 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have holy conversation with you. You can also leave a message for us at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page. We'll get it retrieved and up on the board. We have Leslie with us. Leslie is with us from Tulsa, Oklahoma. She is listening via St. Michael Radio today. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, ladies.
It's good to be with you.
Thank you. I'm a longtime follower, but a first-time caller.
Oh, my goodness sakes. Well, let me ring my bell for you. I ring my bell for people on their first debut or on their, you know, first-time calling, which is their debut. So welcome, 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 Leslie.
Thank you. Here's my question. You were talking about jewelry before, and my 83-year-old aunt has passed away a year ago. I am probably going to inherit a diamond ring that she inherited from her husband's great-grandmother. But I recently discovered in talking with my uncle that his great-grandparents were very involved in Freemasonry. The woman who wore that ring was an Eastern Star participant, if I get that right.
Yes.
So my question is, if I inherit that ring, or even if it went to a different family member, should we have that ring exercised, or is a blessing enough?
Well, first, let me just identify what the Eastern Star is. You know, we have Freemasons, right? So being a Freemason, being a Mason, is the male participation, and female is the Eastern Star. And generally, the Eastern Star organization is for the wives of men who are Masons. So, you know, we've got a very flawed situation here to begin with. And of course, these rings all have an insignia on them that is directly related to the organization. So the you know, we know what a Freemason ring looks like. It's got the logo of the Freemason organization on it, and the same for the Eastern Star ring. So right away now, we've got something that is promoting a very anti-Catholic occult organization. The fact that it has diamonds doesn't in any way exonerate it from the reality of what it is. And so, you know, this is a promotion of that organization. So, Sue, why don't you weigh in on this?
Well, I think the caller is trying to clarify something.
Okay. Well, what she's asking is, yeah, what she's trying to, what Leslie's question relates she's going to most likely inherit this ring or another person is. So if they had it exorcised, if they had the ring exorcised, would that make it okay to own and wear?
Okay, if it's a Freemasonry ring, it's not. That's what you're trying to clarify. It's just her diamond ring that maybe.
No. It's no. Well, Leslie, you can clarify, but I think that what you shared with us was that the ring itself is an Eastern Star ring that has diamonds in it.
Okay, it's not an Eastern Star ring.
It's just a diamond ring, but the woman who was wearing it in the 1800s was an Eastern Star.
Okay. I misunderstood, Leslie. I apologize.
Yeah, that would be different then. In that case, no, there would be no real problem with that. If it was a Freemason ring, then of course that it would be for the reasons that Johnette just explained to us, because that really is a symbol. They don't normally bless those rings during their rituals, but it's a symbol of their promise that they make to the great architect of the world and of the universe, who is not really the God that we're talking about here. They don't really follow our Lord. He's just one of many gods to Freemasons. But if it's just a diamond ring, I would not. No, it's not. It's not going to be a problem there. If you feel a little bit funny about it, I mean, you might want to just go ahead and have that blessed. I mean, I have a lot of my jewelry is blessed, but I don't think you would have to have any reservations just because the owner or the wearer of the ring happened to have been in the Eastern Star. I really don't think that would be a problem. A great question, though.
Leslie, thank you so much for the question, and thank you for the clarification on that. So, you know, we don't want to wear any jewelry that is tied to an organization that is occult in its essence. But if something we inherit something from that individual that is not related to the organization, then that's a whole nother matter. So thanks, Leslie. We appreciate it. It was a great call, and thank you for your first time. I'm going to ring my bell for you again. Thank you. All right, let's get to Anne. Anne is in Fort Worth, Texas today, and she is listening to us via Guadalupe Radio Network. Good morning, Anne.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, good. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I had a question for you and for Sue. I woke up the other night. My grandson was visiting, and he was watching something on YouTube, and it was talking about looking inside yourself for the divine, and you are the divine. And I didn't get the full spelling on what it was, because I made him turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
And it was spelled like T-H-E-L. There's an M, and there's maybe another H or something. I don't know if you've heard of anything like that.
I haven't heard of anything like that. No, I haven't. I'm looking at the website, My Saint, My Hero. I'm looking in that. I'm trying to. I really don't know. I've never heard of that before. I've never heard of it. I would have to have the whole name to be able to answer that question. I'm sorry. I would need to have the name.
Okay.
I see the jewelry company in here is saying my saint, my hero. I'm looking at that. Was that part of your question too?
Oh, no.
Okay. I don't know where that came from then. Okay. It was in the box here.
I think that relates to another caller, Sue.
Okay.
Yeah, that's okay. But Anne, to your question, you know, I'm really very pleased that you had him turn it off, because the premise of whatever this, concept is that, you know, you can that we are all God. So it bears just a little explanation, I think, Sue, about the difference between the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit and the New Age, and really, you know, Eastern occult, Eastern Oriental mysticism, idea that we are all divine, that we are all God, and that we can find that Godhood in us, as opposed to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which means that through grace, God abides in us, but we remain separate from God and God from us. We are not God, as opposed to the New Age concept where we are God. Do you want to comment on that, Sue?
No, that's a very good distinction, and one that a lot of people don't really have and don't realize that the idea that we're all divine comes from pantheism,
right?
And that's the belief that that God is in all. He's everywhere. He's in the plants, the animals, people. He's in everywhere.
So everything essentially is God. Everything essentially is God.
And we believe that all is in God.
Right.
So it's completely different. And that's really, but a lot of people don't know that distinction. So it's a good thing that we're bringing that up. We're bringing up a lot of good things on the air today. So I think are good distinctions and good things that little teachings do even to serve as reminders for people who already know that. That's a very big difference there. But I'm kind of looking around here for this THELM, and I'm just not. Well, you know what? Just write to me, because I love looking for things. So if just write to me at sbrinkman@womenofgrace.com or just info@womenofgrace.com. It will come to me. And once you get that name and send that to me, and then I'll just respond to you personally and let you know what it is. Oh, you're very welcome. Okay.
Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you, Anne. We certainly appreciate your call. And this is important. And this is what's so beautiful about Anne's call as well, is that she was very alerted to what was going on. You know, oftentimes our young people get on the internet, Sue, and we don't know what they're looking at. And we need to know. We need to be aware. Parents have got to be very, very aware, and grandparents have got to be very aware when the children are with them, or our nieces or our nephews. Just do not trust the fact that they understand what it is that they're looking at. The indoctrination that takes place through the internet is really quite amazing. And I mean indoctrination to things that are not part of our Catholic teaching, not part of the revealed truth of sacred scripture. So it's very, very important that we are aware. And I think that she gives us a very good example, a very good witness to that. So Sue is with us from Rhode Island today. And she says that there is a jewelry company called My Saint, My Hero. So Sue, welcome. Do you want to ask your question directly?
Yes. Well, I'm a first-time caller, and I wanted to say how much I enjoy all your shows on TV and on radio.
Well, thank you, Sue. I'm going to ring my bell for you. There you go.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome.
Anyway, My Saint, My Hero is a company that I believe is a Christian-based company. I've purchased a few items from them, but they do feature miraculous medals and such, and although I did have my priest bless it, just to be sure. But they also have like Buddha images and stuff like that. So I really don't know much about the company. I don't know if you have heard of it.
I just heard of it today. And I'm looking it up now. There's a couple things. I'm a little bit queasy about this. Although some of their stuff is made in Medjugorje. Some of it is in Bosnia. But there's stuff that's coming from all over the world, and a lot of these things have blessings on them. I would want to look into what all is being blessed here. is it because if they have down here inspirational Catholic Christian, so you can order different things, almost like Alex and Annie, if you remember the Alex and Annie bracelets, where they had some spiritual, they also were mixed in there with some, things that were not Christian. So I'd have to look into this a little bit further. I think that thank you so much for bringing it to our attention. I will definitely report on it. We try to stay on top of some of these jewelry companies, especially that look like this is very nice. It's a very hip, website and that sort of thing. But I do want to delve in a little bit further. I'd like to know who's behind this. I think I'm going to look into it a little bit further. But thanks for asking about it. There are some things on it that are making me have, I'm getting a little queasy looking at it. So I want to delve into it further, Sue.
And let me just mention, Sue, and to all of the rest of our listeners as well, that you can go out to our website, womenofgrace.com, and access our New Age blog, or you can access the New Age blog directly by going to newage.womenofgrace.com. And there is housed in that blog all of the research articles that Sue has both, you know, investigated as well as posted. And we've got over 1,700 questions and answers there. So when we're talking about jewelry, you know, you can just put jewelry in the search engine once you're at the blog, and all of the articles that Sue has written about New Age jewelry will come up for you, or any of the other topics that we've discussed today, like Reiki, for example, or Freemasonry, or Eastern Star. It will come up for you there. It's just a very comprehensive site. And I can tell you this about Sue. She is a voracious and intense and accurate researcher. So you're going to get the best stuff there. So go on out there and check it out. So Sue, and Sue from Rhode Island, I would say this as well. I would say, you know, there are so many legitimately Catholic, solidly Catholic jewelry manufacturers that, you know, while some of these other, you know, newer operations and enterprises, you know, offer beautiful things, we really don't know much about them. So I think if you're going to buy Catholic goods, buy the Catholic goods from a Catholic manufacturer, from, you know, a Catholic organization. I like to send people to EWTN's religious catalog, EWTNRC.com. They've got beautiful, beautiful Catholic jewelry in all price ranges, from very, very expensive to, you know, very inexpensive but lovely. So I just think it's always the safest avenue to take. But I thank you for your question. These things come up all of the time. And I know that our Sue Brinkman will do research on My Saint, My Hero. And we'll let you know when it's available, and you can find it out there at the blog when it is. Thank you, Sue, from Rhode Island. We've got just enough time, I think, to get to Jane in Fremont, Ohio, listening via Sirius XM station 130. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Jeanette. How are you?
Dandy, how are you doing?
I'm great. Hey, I've got a question. You answered Leslie's question about the diamond ring, but I actually have Masonic jewelry with the Masonic symbols on them. A lot of my ancestors were Masons, so they passed down to me. I've got Eastern Star stuff. I have Masonic stuff. I've got Job's Daughter stuff. So what should I do with that stuff? Some of them have, like, diamonds embedded in the ring that maybe I could take out. But what should I do with that stuff?
Sue?
Yeah, you want to destroy that jewelry. If there is a diamond or something like that, you can go ahead and take it. Somebody I know asked this once before, can I melt it down? And I couldn't find any indication, any teaching at all about whether or not you could do that. You might want to run that by a priest. But if you have anything that's got Freemasonry symbols on it or whatever, you need to destroy that. You can have, if there's any jewels at all on it, go ahead and remove them. There's no real blessings on it, as we mentioned before in the other call. There's no real blessings on it, so you don't have to worry about that. But just destroy it so it doesn't fall into somebody else's hands. And those symbols on there all symbolize their beliefs and their belief systems. And we really don't want to be passing that along to people. So I would destroy it. We just tell people to use a hammer on it and just destroy it, or at least discard it. Take whatever you want out of it. I would just get rid of it. Don't keep it.
Well, there you go, Jane. What do you think about that?
I've been wondering about it for a while now. I don't like that even in my house.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not quite sure what I should have done with it. You know, they were my ancestors, and they've got some sentimental attachments that way, but I'd rather just not have them around. So, yeah. And I don't want to pass them to anyone else. So, yeah, I will be getting rid of them.
Well, I think that's the prudent action, and I just want to say that, you know, you've got a very good discerning spirit there. Discernment is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and when we feel uncomfortable about something like that, that's really just the Holy Spirit letting us know, something needs to be done here. So thank you for being such a faithful daughter and following through on that. What a beautiful opportunity it's been to be with all of you today on this Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Sue Brinkman is a Third Order Carmelite. So happy, happy feast day to you, Sue. It's lovely, lovely, lovely to celebrate
thank
it with you.
You
right here on the air.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
And
we love you all.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, well, thank you.
you didn't mention that part, did you? It's your birthday today. Happy birthday, Janet. Let's all pray for her today.
Well, thank you. I'll take every prayer I can get. Well, thank all of you today. And we will be back with you again tomorrow right here on Women of Grace Live on this same station at this same time. Get to our website. Come to the retreat. God bless. Bye-bye now. Mm-hmm.